Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown. Gary Baker and Kel Carson are in studio here, and we are ready to answer your questions. That's right. Your local computer shop has just opened up before your ears. And the way that you get to call in and get your problem solved is by calling 800-859-0957. We're standing by to answer your questions. Give us a ring. Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown, and with me in studio, Gary Baker and Kel Carson, ready to answer your questions. By the way, we can handle Windows questions, and we can also handle Apple questions if you have to have a Mac out there. Kel is quite proficient with handling that. And by the way, if you've just run into us for the first time, the Internet Advisor is on from 4 to 6 on Saturday afternoons, and the second hour of our program is the one that we dedicate to opening up our lines, and you get to ask any question you want. It may be your email is giving you a challenge. It may be the computer itself is having problems. You may be having some trouble with Windows 10 or trying to get rid of Windows 10 and get back to Windows 7, whatever it may be. We're here to help you, and the phone number is 800-859-0957. And my strong recommendation is that you get on the phone and get in line early. And that way we can make sure that we get to handling your question. All right, guys, let's start the game here and go out to Sean from Rockwood. Sean, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. I'm using my son's laptop mostly right now, and I want to know if I can put iTunes podcast downloads on an external drive so that I won't have to, you know, take up all his drive space, and I'll have them, somewhere where I can use them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that'd be no problem at all. Matter of fact, you would just hook the external drive to the PC or the Mac that you would have, and in iTunes, you can just go in and export them and tell them where you'd like to put them at, and then just point to that device, and you should be able to do that.
Yeah.
So you just use a USB probably to connect that external drive.
Yeah.
Or whatever happens to be useful to you. What do you use to listen to those podcasts?
Right now, it is a laptop.
Oh, you use the laptop now.
So I was saying the external drive is connected by the USB.
Right. So you'd like to... go ahead.
Yeah, right now my podcasts are on his laptop, and I want to take the ones that are on there off and download them straight to an external drive, instead of doing the way it is now.
Right. So what Cal was saying is you can do that immediately from iTunes, or if they download to his computer, then once they're down, you can then harvest them and put them onto the drive for yourself.
So he'll want to know how he harvests them. So.
Okay, good idea. Cal, any idea where you would go to...
Well, now it gets into the trick of what version of iTunes you have. Though I think one of the easiest ways to do it, although it's a bit cumbersome and kind of Stone Age, put either a CD or a DVD into that laptop, burn them onto that CD or DVD, and then just take that over there and copy it onto the drive.
Oh, all righty.
Okay, does he have a CD drive or DVD drive in his laptop?
Yes.
Good.
Well, that would be the quick and easiest way to do it.
Alrighty.
It's funny that we think of that as kind of being old fashioned, but it is a very, very simple way of doing it.
Yeah, it works.
Absolutely. All right, Sean.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm just curious, what kind of podcast do you listen to?
Well, your show for one, and other talk shows.
Well, we thank you for listening to us.
Yeah, so glad you're doing that. Yeah. By the way, as a reminder for other people who are listening, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You have to look for Internet Advisor Podcast. Make sure you put those three words in, or you can sometimes get diverted to another place that won't give you the full podcast, but Internet Advisor Podcast will get you our full podcast. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean, very much for giving us a call, and thank you for bringing that topic up. Good one there. Again, our number is 800-859-0957. Norm, out in Ann Arbor, the seat of all wisdom and learning, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, how are you guys today?
I'm doing fine. What can we do for you, Norm?
Well, I've got a perplexing problem. I can no longer enter any data into contacts or calendar in Office 2007.
Oh, boy. That is a large problem. All right, let's start off by talking about what operating system are you using?
Windows 7.
Windows 7, and are you on a laptop or a desktop?
Laptop.
A laptop, okay. Windows 7 on a laptop. And when did the problem show up?
In the last couple weeks. In a couple weeks, I haven't been able to add any data.
Okay.
What are the messages that you're getting when you try the add to data?
Well, it says I've exceeded the memory capabilities of the program. And the problem with that is there supposedly is no memory component or limitation to 2007. But earlier versions, 203 and 207, supposedly there's no limit, but before 2002, there was a limit. And I have transferred data from previous Outlook versions, 02 or earlier, and you know, I've got several files, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Norm, hang on a second. I'm going to ask you to do a favor. We're going to put you on hold because we're about to come up to a break. And what I want to try to do is to see if we can call you back and get a little better signal, because what's happening is that the quality of the phone lines, for some reason, we got a lot of chipmunks on our, or squirrels on our lines, I think, Gary. They're causing a havoc with our phone calls coming in. We're going to see if we can straighten that out so we can hear Norm a little bit better. In the meantime, we're going to do some noodling behind the scenes to come up with some answers for him. Our number again is 800-859-0957. We'll be back after the short break to talk to Norm about his Outlook contacts and see if we can get them back working for him. Again, the number 800-859-0957. Thank you for joining us here in hour number two of the Internet Advisor. And Norm, we'll be back with you in just a moment. And we've got Mildred from Lake Orion hanging on, and we've got a few other people as well. The number is 800-859-0957. Just a quick reminder for you, by the way, that if you do run into a problem during the week and you'd like to get a question to us, there's a contact button. If you go to internetadvisor.net, on the top of the toolbar there, off to the right-hand side, it says contact. Click on that, put your message in there, and make sure you get your email address in there, and we'll get back to you as quick as we can. And Ed and Cal and some of the rest of us will work during the week to get you some help. The other thing is that on Sunday nights, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see that I post the entire show notes for the program. That includes all the links that we've been talking about. And sometimes if we have some special pieces of information, we put those on there as well in the second hour.
You know, I just did some research and on that thing with the podcast that the gentleman called about before.
Mm-hmm.
If the podcast is downloaded via iTunes right into the application,
mm-hmm.
he can select as many as he wants, right mouse click, do a copy, then go to that external device, right mouse click, paste, and it puts it right over.
Boom, boom. Okay. Very, very simple way of taking care of it. Okay. Let's go back out, guys, to Norm in Ann Arbor. And Norm, your problem was that a few weeks ago, suddenly you started having problems with contacts on Outlook. Am I right?
Contacts and calendar both.
And calendar as well. And this is on Outlook, and you are running Windows 7.
Windows 7, and the Outlook is a 2007 version, but it has data from earlier versions in different folders.
How large is the PST file in Outlook for you right now?
I think it's about 1.9 gigabytes.
Okay, because generally speaking, for 2007, if I remember right, when it gets somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 4 gig in size, it becomes a little bit unstable, according to Microsoft. So unpredictable results can happen. What I would be more inclined to do is probably make a backup copy of the current file that you have right now, and then go into control panels. Control panel, programs and features, and then select out the Microsoft Office Outlook application, click the repair button, and let it run repair against it.
Ah, okay.
And then after it runs repair against that file, hopefully it'll recover from it. If it doesn't, then at least you still have a backup copy in case you have to try and work with that. But that would be my first course of action.
Does the same thing work for calendar? Because he said he had contacts and calendar were issued.
It's going to look at the entire OST file.
Oh, I see.
I gotcha. And it'll analyze the entire OST file, which contains both of those items in there as well as mail.
Okay, Norm?
Interesting. Yeah, very good. Thank you much.
All right, sir. Thank you. And we would like to, by the way, know how these things work for you. And so if during the week you take one of the, for instance, suggestions that we have and it works or there's a little bit of a wrinkle in it, please give us an email by going to internetadvisor.net and then putting in your comments there. Or you can simply go to the podcast and right at the bottom, there's a handy dandy comment section that you can use to remark, tell us how things are working.
We love our solutions just like our shirts, wrinkle-free.
I like that. All right. Well, let's go to Mildred in Lake Orion. Mildred, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mildred.
So tell me, what is your issue?
Well, my father-in-law, who's 82,
okay,
and lives alone, wants to get a new computer.
Okay.
His computer, unfortunately, got hacked the other day. He had, I'm guessing, a phishing email and opened it and called the number.
Oh.
And then next thing you know, they're asking him for money, and he agreed to pay, and so on. Anyway, so my daughter, who went over there immediately, turned off the computer.
Yeah, right.
You know, we did whatever we could to deal with the situation.
Sure.
And so we don't want him to use it again. I'm guessing it wouldn't be safe anymore. It's an old computer anyway.
Okay. Okay.
So we suggest that he get a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you recommend? Something that's user friendly for someone his age.
Yep.
And maybe I'm thinking, if you recommend, because of space issues,
mm-hmm,
since he lives in a small apartment,
sure,
like an two-in-one?
You're talking
computer?
About an all-in-one computer, yeah, where it's not the separate box and the monitor and that sort of thing. You're talking about the all-in-one where they have most all the components are inside the display.
Right, because he doesn't have much space.
Is he such that he could use a laptop computer, or would that be too small for him?
Well, we thought about that, but he'd have to have a keyboard, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Keyboard.
He would need a larger keyboard?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because he's a big guy, and, his fingers are... I think a laptop would be too...
You can get, Mildred, excuse me, you can get, I just saw this the other day, interestingly, on Groupon. It was a 15-inch laptop. I think it was Lenovo, and it was a refurb, and it was going for like $200-$300, and that's 15 inches. That's a nice size. I mean, and it would fit.
Okay.
I have big hands, too, and I think it would work for him on that. However, one of the things that Cal is pointing to is that vision becomes a challenge as well. I don't know how well he sees. Excuse me. You get usually a bigger monitor with a 2-in-1, right, Cal?
Yes.
Yeah.
So right.
That might be better for
him. Exactly. That's a consideration, the monitor size.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dell makes a fairly decent all-in-one,
mm-hmm,
and also does HP as well. So you can check both of their websites for, and what you're looking for is called an all-in-one, not a 2-in-1.
Okay.
Yeah, all-in-one.
And that will give you some ideas. You can, I'm not going to have him change his paradigm completely and suggest a Mac for him, but they do also make those in all-in-ones as well.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing is, how old is this other computer?
Oh, boy. I'd say at least maybe 10 years old.
Okay, fine. Okay, then we'll just let it go. But because of that, he is still going to have a paradigm shift because he's not, whatever he's running on that computer that's 10 years old as far as an operating system is going to be different when he gets on the new one. He'll have Windows 10. And 10 years ago, he was probably running something like Vista,
right.
Won't be a terrible big change for him, but it will be a change.
Mm.
So do be aware of that as well. But,
sounds like your daughter could help him out with that, am I right?
Yes, we're counting on her.
Yeah.
To help him out.
Good.
Right.
Check out the HP.
Yeah, The younger generation can handle that.
Check out the HP sites for all-in-one, or check out the site for Dell for an all-in-one.
Right.
And you could, and if you're in the Metro Detroit area, you could like go to a place like Micro Center or Best Buy. They also sell the all-in-ones as well.
Now, with the CPU that we took out of his apartment, how do we just take that to our recycling center, or how do you get rid of something like that? I know.
When you said CPU, did you mean the big monitor, the cathode ray tube? Yeah.
Or are you talking about the box that, that monitor?
The box.
Can,
not the monitor, the box.
The box. Okay.
Well, what I would suggest you do is, if he doesn't have any confidential information or personal information on there, like credit cards or anything like that, you could take the whole CPU to your recycling centers in your community, and they'll take care of recycling that for you. Or if you want to get in contact, if you look on the website for Global Tech Ministries, Stephen Beck will be more than glad to take it off your hands. They will recycle it properly, and they will also make sure that the hard drive is erased as well.
Yeah, now one thing you want to make sure, Mildred, is that that you get his data off it. Does he have things like pictures on there that he, you know, family pictures and things like that?
I believe so.
Okay.
Right.
You want
so
to make
even if it was hacked, we could turn it on and get all that? Like, what is it like?
What you're going to do is when you go to turn it back on, before you turn it on, remove the internet connection from the back.
Right.
That's that wire that goes from the back of the computer to the router. And then once it's off the internet, then you can safely turn it on and extract out the information that you think you need before you donate it.
Yeah, it's not like the information is poisoned inside of there, but you don't want it contacting, if you will, calling home and creating all sorts of problems for your was it your father-in-law, I believe you said?
Right,
your father-in-law. Right. But I think he can, and I like Cal's solution, which is the two-in-one, or if you will, the all-in-one, I think is what they call them now, because it's got a bigger screen. But again, one of the things that Cal has said, and we say very often to people, is have him get into a store where he can get his hands on it and get a feel for it. And I think you'll be much, much happier with what you end up with. Thanks so much, and I hope you do well.
Okay, that one run. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Back with more of your calls at 800-859-0957. We'll be talking with Charlene and with Jim in just a moment when we return. Welcome to hour number two. Thank you, by the way, to Eric Dorch, who's our engineer and, matter of fact, a man wearing a number of hats right now. Thank you so much, Eric, for helping us out this afternoon with that. Reminder for you that on Sunday nights, I edit all the pieces of the Internet Advisor together so that you can listen to about 75 minutes straight if you want to listen to the whole thing through. That would be including the first hour of our program with Rick Broida, and then also this question and answer segment as well. Or what I try to do is I break out each one of those segments on online. So, for instance, the section that has the section that had Rick Broida on it will be a separate section. The part that where Dave, he was talking with Dave about Battlestar Recaptica, that'll be a section, a separate audio section you can listen to. And then the second hour of the program where we're answering questions like we're doing right now with Jim and Charlene, that'll be something else that you can listen to as well. So you can pick and choose. You don't have to listen to the whole podcast, but you can actually pick different audio segments that you want to tune into. So let's go back out now to Jim in Lapeer. Jim, welcome to the Internet Advisor. I understand you have some, you've had some experience with all-in-ones.
Well, not yet. Well, sort of.
Okay.
I had a what they call a slim Dell, I guess.
Yeah.
Had it for a few years, and it bit the dust. The guy I took it up to, he said the motherboard was, you know, fried in it.
Okay.
And,
okay.
And it was too expensive, so I went. And I did. I actually did. I went to it, picked up an HP all in one. And then when I went back to him to find out that my other computer was non-repairable, and told him what I had picked up, and he said, well, they're having HP is just not, you know, with it right now. They're not as good as they used to be, and the all-in-one is overheating, and they're having problems with that. Then also, he also told me he could, you know, build me one, and
I got you.
So that's So that's where I'm at. So
okay.
Yeah, the all-in-one is nice. It's, you know, clears up the desk really nice.
Yes, it does.
But it is that an issue that you heard of that as far as,
Cal? I'm wondering if, Cal, if you've heard that out there.
I have not heard specifically any issues pointing to that particular manufacturer's all-in-ones. I will say this. You will always hear someone say, I heard something about this or I heard something about that. If you really want to know for sure, you can always go directly to the HP website and see if there's anything going on out there. You can search the forums as well and see if there's anybody reporting that sort of thing. But the other thing you have to remember, too, is that if you went and bought that particular piece of equipment, it's warrantied for a year.
Sure.
And if you're having problems with it, you can call them and they'll resolve it for you. And worst comes to worst, you could always just return it and get a refund back again. But if it's working for you, why go look for a trouble?
Yeah. And
I know the one thing that I looked at is, like, obviously in all the monitors, you hear the fan kick on. And when mine, you know, because it wasn't communicating with the monitors what I had. That was my problem.
Right.
So, and then the fan kicks on high. Well, on this all-in-one, you don't hear a fan. And I don't know whether, I'm assuming they don't have a fan in there.
They have fans
in there.
They definitely have fans in there. But what they have done is, number two, they use smaller fans that move larger volumes of air. The way that they situate the fans in there are such that you don't hear them as much. And the other thing is that they control the fans based upon the temperatures that are going on in there. So if they don't have to run at high speed, it's because the machine's not running hot. So they'll run it at a lower speed and still be able to maintain the appropriate temperature for it.
Mm-hmm. And the chips that are being built.
That makes sense.
The chips that are being built. Go ahead. I was just going to say the chips that are being built nowadays are also being built to run cooler.
Yeah.
And that's part of the magic that they put into the new ones. Go ahead.
One other quick question. I've heard this gentleman on your show before, and I, quite honestly, I don't know whether he's there today, but he had talked about he owns a company or works for a company over in Southfield that refurbishes laptops. Because that's the other thing I'm looking at is with a desktop, I also want to get a laptop. And I had wrote down his name several months ago, and now it's gone. So
you were speaking of Shane Hamlin, and he's actually over in Sterling Heights.
Yeah.
He owns what, Computech?
He's one of the principals there.
Of Computech Services.
Mm-hmm. Services.
Yeah, and they do refurbished equipment and stuff like that. That's who you're thinking of.
Okay. By chance, do you have a phone number or anything?
If you go to our website.
Yes.
And you go to the section where it says Trusted Computer Shops.
Right. Go way down to the bottom on any one of our podcasts, and I've kept that on there precisely because we look for people's recommendations like you. And Shane was recommended by a number of people. So, matter of fact, that's how we found him initially. And
give him the name of the shop again, please.
It's Comptech. And it's on Shaner around 18 Mile Road in Sterling Heights. And you'll find.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and love your show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we love recommending people. And by the way, if folks you out there have a shop you've dealt with, and we have them all over the metropolitan area, everywhere from Adrian to to Sterling Heights, whatever you've run into somebody you think is really good, they're honest, they give you a good deal, they don't try to overbuild what they're offering you, then please let us know about them. We'd love to share that information.
Yeah, we're even
listeners.
Open to folks in Ohio and Indiana.
Matter of fact, we did some in Toledo.
If you can hear this radio station, we're open to it.
All right. Speaking of Toledo, we've got Jim there. Hi, Jim. How you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm in the process of thinking about replacing a 17-inch monitor, which is VGA, and I want to try to go to maybe a 27-inch monitor, maybe even a 27-inch TV. Can I use that as a monitor and get by with it?
Most of the newer TVs nowadays do have the interface that allow you to use it as a monitor. In a lot of cases, though, lately, rather than having a VGA attachment, you'll have to use HDMI, which is not a big deal. If your laptop or your desktop already has HDMI on it, it's wonderful. If it doesn't, you'll have to get what they call an HDMI dongle, which can go anywhere from about $15 to $35 that you plug into a port on the side of the computer, maybe even USB, and then you plug the HDMI cable into that, and then from there it goes into the television set. A TV set is a great idea for a external monitor because you get a dual purpose out of it, and it works really well.
How about a 4K? Do I need a 4K or is it getting...
Well, what are you going to do with it?
You could
primarily use it as a monitor, and I'm having a little bit of a vision problem in that 17-inch it doesn't look as sharp as it used to.
Well, see, this is what's going to happen. A 4K will give you sharper clarity and that sort of thing, but do you but
and
for
a lighter
what you,
wallet?
Yes. Well, they've come down.
$500
Yeah, they've come down in price. I was over at Micro Center, and they had 4Ks over there in a 50-inch configuration for a mere $900.
Yeah,
but
that's not bad.
I don't think you need to go that far.
No, I don't think so either. No.
Only because right now we don't have that much 4K television programming.
Right.
And so I think it's a waste at this particular point in the game when you can get something just as big for a lot less money. And be able to, and be satisfied with it.
And from a monitor standpoint, that'll give you better clarity than what your computer will output to it.
Yeah, because your computer's not going to be pushing 4K.
They're not pushing 4K.
Oh, okay.
So be careful having somebody kind of sell you or talk you into that as being a way of vastly improving your viewing ability, because it may not, as a matter of fact, because the content doesn't match.
And the best way to do that is by comparing. Go into the store, look at a 4K, look at a 1080p, compare the two, then look at your wallet, compare the two, and then decide which one will work best for you. But I'm thinking, based upon what you've told us, you'd be better served not spending the extra money on a 4K.
I've got a 40-inch 4K TV downstairs, which I love dearly, but I haven't tried to hook it up to the computer yet.
Well, try that first.
How old is that that TV, by the way? I'm just curious.
It can't be too old because it's 4K.
Under a year.
Yeah. Okay, well then you undoubtedly have an HDMI hookup on the back of that.
Definitely.
That you can tap into, and then it just depends on as Cal was saying. Matter of fact, even if you don't have HDMI outlets on your laptop or desktop, you can find a dongle, which is essentially an adapter.
Exactly.
That will help you to hook those two things up, and then you're on your...
Yeah, matter of fact, try it on that TV first.
Yeah.
And see if that's something that you feel you want and need. You know how much you paid for that television. Of course, you can subtract a little off of it now because they've gone down in price a bit. And then decide whether or not you really need to go out and buy a monitor that's 4K or 1080p.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, take care, Jim. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
All right.
Well, I have to admit that I was texting while co-hosting. So I had a friend of mine who is a parent of one of my son's teammates. He plays lacrosse for Detroit Catholic Central and just congratulated us on a great show. And I wanted to take the opportunity to congratulate Detroit Catholic Central for winning regionals last night.
They did. Wonderful.
And they're off to state semifinals against Detroit Country Day on Wednesday.
Is that a team of preference for you, sir?
It is, yes. My son plays with Cole Jindal, is also there. So they play Detroit Country Day.
Wow.
In the semifinals. Right. So we'll see if they can get past Detroit Country Day and off to Brother Rice next Saturday.
That is the Himalayas of lacrosse.
Yes. They are very good.
All right, Charlene, we will be with you in just a moment out in Troy. And by the way, we have room for another call. If you'd like to give us a call right here near the end of the program at 800-859-0957. Again, 800-859-0957. The Internet Advisor is on the air to help you. Welcome. It has been a ball being with you here. And I hope, by the way, I hope that you will spread the good news that
The Internet Advisor is here from 4 until 6 during the spring and summertime. You can catch us on a regular basis right here at 760 AM WJR. And for our affiliates, thank you very much for tuning in to us. And I hope that you will know that we would love to answer any questions you have out there. You may be hearing a delayed version of the program, but we are still with our Internet Advisor website. We are more than happy to take your questions from Holland or Lansing or Jackson or wherever you happen to be hearing us.
Or better yet, just call into your local radio station and say, I want them live.
There you go.
Put them on live.
I love it. All right. Let's. By the way,
and you accused me of a shameless pitch.
It's kind of funny. I was in that. Oh, Mike Brendan has this bell that it rings when we have shameless plugs. We should definitely get one of those in for us.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Right. Again, our number 800-859-0957. And thank you, by the way, to Eric Dortch, who's done an incredible job. He's running around flipping hats, doing all sorts of jobs back there behind the glass for us. Thanks so much. All right, now, Charlene, thank you for the record for patience on the Internet Advisor. Thanks for being with us here from Troy. How can we help you, Charlene?
Well, I'm having a problem that I had before when I was using Internet Explorer on XP and on Vista. Mm-hmm. When I would try to open my email, it wouldn't open it, and I'd get this message that said that there was, you know, some delay or whatever due to a long-running script. So then I switched to Google and Chrome, and the problem disappeared.
Ah.
But now Chrome is not supporting Vista anymore, so I switched to Mozilla. Now I'm having the problem again.
Hmm.
I can't open my emails because it keeps giving me this message, something about a long-running script. And it wants to, you know, ask me if I want to debug it or, you know, and it gives me a different option. And it's like, I have no idea why it's doing this.
Yeah.
So do you know what it says? Is this a Java plugin? Do you know?
I don't know.
So one of the things that you can do is make sure that you copy down exactly what the dialog box says and actually search for it.
Well, I did, but I don't really understand.
But if you copy it down, so if it says Java plugin error, for instance, then you search for that or call us, but it helps. So I think that's probably the problem, right?
I heard something about Java, that Java, we're not going to be using it anymore or something, so I haven't been doing the updates.
Update that.
Okay.
That maybe will fix it.
This happened when I had XP and, you know, on a different desktop and then on my laptop. I still had the same problem, so I don't think it's related to Java because I was updating Java at all that time.
What version of Internet... Gary.
No, go ahead.
What version of Internet Explorer are you using on your computer?
Well, I'm not using it anymore because all I got that was that message about a long-running script.
What version were you using?
I think it was 8 or 9.
Well, what you can try is this. Go back to Internet Explorer, start it up, then go to the Tools menu, and then click Internet Options.
But I'm not using Internet Explorer anymore. I'm trying to use Mozilla.
Try IE. I think this might fix it for you.
Okay, what do you want me to do?
You're going to go to the Tools menu
in
Internet Explorer, and then click on Internet Options.
Okay.
Then you're going to go to the Advanced tab.
Which is usually to the far right-hand side.
Okay, and then under Settings, scroll down to the Browsing section.
Okay.
And there'll be a third box, checkbox down there that says Disable Script Debugging.
Okay.
And then there's another one that's a fourth checkbox, and it's going to be Disable Script Debugging Others. And then uncheck the fifth one that says Display a Notification About Every Script Error.
Oh, yeah.
And then try and see if you can go to those websites and see if they'll work for you.
Okay, I'll try that.
So what's happening is when a script doesn't run for whatever reason, and it could run because there's a server problem, or it could run because of your browser not being up to date. So if there's a mix match, it may cause the script to run long, and it's usually a JavaScript error. So if that happens, you don't necessarily have to have that script run, but what you don't get is whatever that script is running. So let's say there's a counter on the site that keeps you up to date on a sports score. if that's the JavaScript that drives that display, and that's and you say stop debugging it, well, you can get to the rest of the site. You just can't get to that function.
Right.
And sometimes you don't know what you're missing. And that's the problem, because you don't know that there was supposed to be that
and a lot of times
box that kept up the score.
And a lot of times the reason why you're having these problems is because you're using a browser that's too old.
Yeah.
It's not keeping up with the times. And so this is kind of the beginning of indications letting you know that maybe it's time either to update the operating system or maybe even update the whole computer. But try this first and see if that allow you to get by with what you need to do, realizing that you may be missing out on content like Gary has illustrated. And if it's okay with you, you can continue down this path. But really, it's probably about time for you to start looking at other opportunities, because when multiple browsers aren't working, you're probably a long way behind on the curve.
Yeah.
Or just try updating everything.
Yeah, that may be it.
If it's possible. For example, you can only go so far with IE under Vista.
That's
right.
True.
Right, exactly.
That's true. Absolutely.
All right, Charlene, thank you so much for your patience.
Does that
help?
I hope
that will help
for
you.
Yeah, we hope it does. Yeah. Yep.
Try that solution, see if that helps for you. Let's see if we can get John in before we wrap things up here. John from Novi, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi. Yeah, I recently bought a Dell All-in-One, and I do like it, except every now and then, by the way, I do get a message about the video card crashed or something, restarts itself. Uh-huh. But reason I'm calling is, you know, it first comes with a software, security software on it.
Yeah.
And that has now expired.
Okay.
And they give you, a free disk for... I don't know if to say the name or not.
That's okay. It's one of the security suites. That's okay.
Yeah.
It could be almost anything. It could be Avast. It could be any number of the different ones. You know, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not going to go for that, but what I use on my HP laptop, I use Defender and Malwarebytes.
Well, the Windows now, what operating system are you running?
Windows 10 on both.
Okay.
Of them.
See, Windows 10 has a wonderful system built into it, which is Windows Defender. And it is constantly upgrading itself, and that was one of the nice things about what they did is that Microsoft built in for free an active security system for you there. So, and this, we don't want to badmouth anybody's security system, except to say that Microsoft has already done a great job with Windows 10 of including something like that. Malwarebytes is an anti-malware software that it is very much worth your while installing. Now, there's two versions of it. One is going to be the free one, and then you got another one, which is the pro version, and they're going to want, what, like 25? Well, what is it a year?
I thought it was $25 a year.
About $25 a year, I think.
It's about that. I have the license for that good till March. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, then, you know, you've got that going for you. So you've got two active defense systems working for you.
And they're different. You don't want two antivirus, but you
right.
can put an antivirus and anti-malware together. Right, so that's important to make sure that you're not trying to run two antivirus. And I basically said that for other people, John, but it gave me an opportunity to say that.
So you're well protected, John, and congratulations on that. Did we answer your question?
Definitely. I just wanted to make sure that was still the case with Defender. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Defender's pretty good.
Defender is wonderful.
And they bring in from other sources, too. So not everybody is going to catch every piece of antidote. So they'll bring in different from solutions from other devices as well.
Absolutely. Yep. And I have to say, of all the griping I do about Microsoft in many other cases, their security has been really good. What they've done for security.
Certainly better.
Yep. Whole lot better than a lot that's been out there. Thank you so much, Gary, for being with us.
Sure. And
good luck.
I just
Jason,
got a
Justin
good luck to Justin. Thank you. And I just got a Java update notice. So I just want to let people know that.
Cal, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Eric, thank you as well, folks. Sunday night, check out internetadvisor.net, and I'll have the entire show notes for you there. Have a great weekend.